Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to our program. Hope that you are off to a good start at your house this morning and that everything is going well with you, and that perhaps you're thinking about getting out and worshiping God today. We'd love for you to do that with us at the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, 9 o'clock this morning. We'll be meeting for Bible study and worship assembly as we follow the faith that was revealed through the New Testament long ago, and we do those things prescribed by God in order to glorify and worship Him. We'd love for you to be with us, enjoy worship together with us, and just get to know us. So come out and be with us if you can. If you can't join us at 9 o'clock this morning, check us out online. Our services are live streamed. You can go to our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama, or you can check us out online. Our website is eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Go there, click on the media tab and the live streaming. But come out and join us in person if you can this morning, again, as we worship our God. We'll be talking this morning on the program about the concept of the faith, with the word the in front of the word faith. A lot of times when we talk about faith, we're talking about a person's individual beliefs. What do you believe in, so to speak? What do you think about things? And so everybody has their own things that they believe in, I suppose. But when it comes to the faith that God wants us to follow, the Bible is very specific about that, and it uses that term, the faith, to refer to what God expects us to believe in and follow and do. So we'll be looking at that phrase this morning. If you think about how we use the term faith, sometimes we use it in this subjective way of what a person believes or even what their opinions are. But when we use it in an objective way, it has to do with a set order of things that a person may have accepted. So for instance, if I could use these examples, we might talk about the Jewish faith. We might talk about the Muslim faith. We might talk about the Catholic faith. Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about a system of beliefs that is organized and basically set, and people who follow those faiths, you know, they believe in that particular system of faith, so to speak. And so the Bible uses the term faith in that same objective way. When it's talking about the system of faith, what God wants us to believe in and follow, that He has revealed to us. And maybe that's the first thing we need to make clear this morning, that the faith is something that is revealed by God. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul there is contrasting the Old Testament law of Moses with the faith that God revealed in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. He said, Paul does in Galatians 3 and verse 23, that before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. And so here Paul is talking about the faith as something that was revealed after the law of Moses. When people were living under the law of Moses, they were sort of confined to that, but it was a waiting period, for waiting for the faith to be revealed, which all of humanity is to understand, to hear, and to follow, that God has revealed to us. And it has been revealed, the faith has been revealed to us once for all. In fact, in Jude verse 3, the epistle of Jude verse 3 says that we're to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. These passages are really important in understanding what the faith is. The faith is something that's been revealed by God. The faith is something that God has revealed, He has delivered to His saints, Jude 3 says. And the faith is something that was once for all delivered, which is to say it's not something that's changeable. God has told us exactly what He wants us to believe and do, and that is inculcated in what the Bible calls the faith. It was delivered once for all to the saints. So this is something that comes from God that He wants His people, He expects His people, in fact, His people must accept, believe, and follow. It is what is taught to and followed then by those who have truly received Christ. You find this repeatedly in the scriptures. For instance, in the book of Colossians chapter 2, in verse 6, as Paul is writing to the Christians in the church at Colossae, he says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Please notice in this passage that the Colossians had been established in the faith, and the way they got to be established in it is that they were taught it. So it's not something they came up with on their own. It's not something that they just, you know, felt like was their opinion. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about something that God has delivered, that it's been taught, and that his people have accepted and believe. And then they continue in it. They're established in it. They follow it. And so it's this sense of the word faith that we find in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. But we also find it in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, where there the Apostle Paul is talking about the unity that believers are to have. And he says that that unity is based on the unity of what God has given to us. He says there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So there's one Lord, there's one faith. See, it's not the faiths, is it? God didn't give us many faiths. He gave us the faith. And specifically, he gave us one faith. So if we're to please him and we're to be saved by the faith that has been revealed to us, it is only one faith. We can talk about, as I said at the top of our program, we can talk about many faiths in the world, but there's only one that's been revealed by God. There's only one that his people follow. That's clear from these scriptures. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. His people are established in the faith that they have been taught. And that faith, then, is what is communicated in the gospel, or the word of God. Again, writing to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, the Colossians are encouraged to continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. So, continue in the faith. Well, where did they get that faith? Where did they come across that faith? Where did they learn that faith? Well, it was in the gospel which they'd heard. Again, later, as we are already seeing, they were taught it, Colossians 2, verse 7 says. Here we learn that they heard it through the gospel. We have an instance of how that occurred in the book of Acts, chapter 24 and verse 24. The Apostle Paul is standing before the Roman governor, Felix, and he's defending himself and his actions before Felix. And it says that Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul, and he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So Paul is talking to Felix about the faith in Christ. Well, what does Paul tell Felix when he's talking about the faith in Christ? We can look at Acts 24 and verse 25. He reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Those were the things that Paul was talking about when he was talking about the faith. So the faith includes concepts of righteousness. That is to say, what's right and what's wrong, and what do you need to do to be right in the eyes of God? That's righteousness. So Paul reasons when he's talking about the faith. He talks about righteousness. He talks about self-control. You know, that means, in essence, that if you're going to follow the faith of God, you can't just do anything that you feel like you want to do. You know, you have to control yourself. You have to control yourself. You have to bring yourself under the control of Jesus Christ, in fact. So when Paul's talking about the faith, he's talking about righteousness, he's talking about self-control, and he's talking about judgment, that every last one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things we've done in this body, whether they're good or bad. That's part of the faith. Judgment is coming, and we need to prepare ourselves for that. When Paul reasoned about the faith before Felix, he was reasoning about these things. He was reasoning about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. And Felix, like a lot of people, really didn't want to hear about the faith. It was, in fact, terrifying to him. Felix, it says in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, Felix was afraid. He didn't want to hear about having to do right. In fact, Felix is probably like a lot of people nowadays who don't believe there is such a thing as right or wrong. Whether that's the case or not, he was terrified about these concepts of having to do right and controlling himself, and especially the fact that there's a judgment to come. We're going to have to answer to God for what we've done in this life. But that's all part of the faith. That's all part of the faith that God has delivered to us and expects us to accept and follow. We have another example of what it means to talk about the faith, to reason about the faith, and to hear the faith. In Acts chapter 13, there was a Roman proconsul by the name of Sergius Paulus, and Paul and Barnabas run across him. This man is described in Acts 13 and verse 7 as an intelligent man. He called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. So here's a man, an important political figure, but he's seeking to hear the word of God. But there was somebody that was with Sergius Paulus. His name was Elymas, and it says in Acts 13 and verse 8 that Elymas was a sorcerer, and Elymas withstood them, that is, he withstood Paul and Barnabas, and he tried to turn the proconsul away from the faith. He tried to turn the proconsul away from what God was telling him to do, what God expected of him, and what God expected him to believe. So, following the story in Acts chapter 13, what happens is that Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, strikes Elymas blind, this sorcerer who's trying to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Paul strikes him blind. And the text tells us then, in Acts 13 and verse 12, that when that occurred, the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. What did it mean for Paul to teach this Roman proconsul by the name of Sergius Paulus? What did it mean for him to teach this man the faith? Well, it meant that he was going to have to turn away from the things of the world, the things that this sorcerer Elymas was telling him. It meant that he was going to believe in God's message, the gospel, and accept that and follow that. So that leads us to this point that the faith is what we believe that's been delivered to us by God. This proconsul believed. He believed the faith that Paul was explaining to him. The faith then is what we accept and believe in that comes to us from God through the gospel, through his word, and the faith is what we obey. This is a concept, again, that's maybe hard for a lot of us to get our minds around in the religious climate in which we live today, where so many don't have a concept that the faith is actually something solid. So many think that, well, the faith is whatever I want it to be, and I can just believe my own beliefs, and that's going to be accepted by God. That's not the New Testament idea at all. And the faith that God has given to us not only is a standard faith, so to speak. It's one thing, as we've already said. There's only one faith that God has delivered to us through the gospel. But it's not only to be believed, but it's also to be obeyed. And that's the thing that a lot of people can't really seem to track. But it's clearly taught in Scripture really over and over again. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, very early on in the history of the church, the text tells us that the word of God spread and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. They were obedient to the faith. So the faith requires us to do something. It requires us to obey. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in talking about his apostleship and the fact that he was to be a messenger of the gospel to all the world, he talks about it in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, and that through Christ we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name. So everybody, all nations, are supposed to receive and believe and obey this same faith, the faith that Paul and the other apostles delivered to mankind following their commission by Jesus Christ and being led by the miraculous revelation and power of the Holy Spirit. All nations are expected to be obedient to the faith, this faith that God has delivered. And so the faith is what we believe. The faith is what we obey. If we've accepted it, believe it and obey it. We contend for it. In fact, back in Jude verse 3, it says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." We've noticed already that the faith was once for all delivered, so it's not a changeable thing. The same faith that God delivered to people in the New Testament times through his apostles is the faith that we have today. It's the faith that God wants us to believe and obey today. It is what we contend for then. It's what I'm contending for this morning. And this program, The Way That Leads to Life, well, the way that leads to life is the way that follows the faith that God has delivered to mankind. It's been the same for nearly 2,000 years now. That faith was once for all delivered. That faith is what we contend for. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul tells us to watch, to stand fast in the faith, to be brave, to be strong. So we're to be watchful concerning the faith. We're to stand strong for it. It takes courage to stand for it. There are so many people today that don't want the faith that God delivered. They want the message of the New Testament to be something other than it is. They want the religion of Christ and Christianity to be something other than what God said it was. And that's just a sad reality. But if we're going to accept the faith that God once for all delivered, and if we're going to believe that and obey it, we're going to have to contend for it in the world in which we live. Contend for the faith and then continue in the faith, remaining, if you will, faithful to the faith. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 21, when Paul and Barnabas had preached the gospel and made many disciples, it says they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." So Paul and Barnabas are telling these Christians, these new Christians, to continue in the faith. That suggests that, you know, once you're in this, it's not something, once you've accepted it, once you believe it, it's not something you should leave. It's not something you should try to alter. It's not something you should change or try to move away from or make different in any way. In Colossians chapter 1, again, in verse 21, Paul has a lot to say to the Colossians about the faith. And so he says in verse 21, to those who had been saved, he says, "You were once alienated and enemies in your mind by your wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." So notice the Colossians can have this hope of being presented holy and blameless and above reproach in the eyes of God. They are now God's people, but they must continue in the faith. They must be grounded and steadfast in the faith. They must not move away from the faith or from the hope of the gospel. And of course, the gospel is what the message of the faith is all about. The gospel is what the message of the faith is all about. We must continue in that and not waver. There's a real danger in straying from the faith, in trying to make it into something that it's not, in turning aside to human ideas or the traditions of men. The Apostle Paul warns us about this repeatedly, and he talks to us about different ways that it's possible to stray from the faith. For instance, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, as Paul writes to Timothy, he says that the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. So we shouldn't be surprised that people are departing from the faith, because it was expressly prophesied by the Spirit, and Paul records it for us here as he writes to Timothy. So the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, and we're in latter times now, right? Some will depart from the faith. And how will they do that, though? Well, Paul tells us, he says, they'll give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Wow. People will depart from the faith, They'll be telling lies. They won't be true to their own conscience. They'll be willing to violate their own conscience, their own inner sense of right and wrong. And some of the things they'll teach, well, they'll forbid to marry. Of course, we've got certain faiths today that forbid to marry. We have certain faiths today that tell their people to abstain from foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving. Those people, according to Paul's words here, have departed from the faith. They've departed from that faith which God once for all delivered to the saints. They've strayed. And the Bible prophesies that would happen, and it did happen. So we can depart from the faith or stray from the faith by believing false doctrine or by teaching false doctrine. We can depart from the faith or stray from the faith by failing in our responsibilities in keeping the faith and doing what God expects us to do. For instance, in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, there the apostle says, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Well, God expects his people to care for one another. And especially in our own families, we have responsibilities. Wives, husbands, parents, we have responsibilities to take care of our families, to provide for our needs, to provide for their needs, not just the physical needs, but spiritual needs as well. And so if you don't provide for your own, especially those of your own household, you've denied the faith, the faith, that you're not doing what God has said for you to do. Sometimes people deny the faith because they love money. They don't want to do what God has said to do in his word because of the love of money. Paul warns about that, again, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, the next chapter over. Paul tells Timothy that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Do you realize that there are those who stray from the faith, the faith, the thing that God wants them to believe and do and practice in their lives and continue in and contend for, that people stray from the faith because they love money. They don't want to do what God said do. They want to live like God said to live. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that the just shall live by faith. But there are those who don't want to live righteous lives and just lives. They want to follow money or pleasure or whatever it might be. They want to do what they want to do. They're influenced by, as we've already said, thoughts and philosophies in this world, by human traditions, and they don't want to follow the faith that God once for all delivered to the saints. Love money can really be a strong deterrent to walking in the faith, to standing in the faith that God once for all delivered. I think a big problem when it comes to continuing in the faith and the problem of straying from the faith that we see in the world today, we see around us today, is that we're living in an age where we think we know so much. And every individual, especially in our Western culture in the United States of America, we all have a lot of individual self-confidence in our own opinions and our own think-sos and what we think we know. And, of course, all of that's been on full display, especially the last few years as we've had such social problems, political problems, our health crisis during COVID. Everybody thinks what they think, right? Everybody's an expert on everything. Can't tell anybody anything. And a lot of that is due to the fact that we've accepted a lot of what we might call false knowledge, things that we think are true that are not true, things that we believe to be the case, but they're not the case. And in every spectrum of our lives here in this country, particularly, you can just look and see that all around. The apostle, again in 1 Timothy chapter 6, warns Timothy about that kind of attitude, because that's the kind of attitude which really prevents one from following the faith. He tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20, Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Right. People stray concerning the faith because they latch on to stuff that they think is knowledge, but it's not. It's false knowledge. You know, we hear a lot today about fake news. And there's a lot of fake news out there, a lot of stuff that's reported as the truth that isn't the truth, or it isn't all the truth, or it's the truth that's slanted to, you know, prop up one false idea or another. There's a lot of fake news, not only in the political realm, not only when it comes to medical things, but just all around, a lot of stuff that's reported as truth that's not truth. And the problem is when it comes to spiritual things that people have accepted news that is fake instead of the good news of the gospel, the faith which God once for all delivered to the saints that we can find in our New Testaments. People have accepted truths that aren't true, facts that aren't facts. And that's the problem that we have today in this world. Paul told Timothy to guard against that. Guard against profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Again, our word for that today would just be fake news. Guard against that. Don't accept it just because somebody says it, just because your favorite people think it. Accept it because God said it. Accept it because you can read about it in your Bible, because it's the truth of God. Paul writes to Titus, a preacher who he sent to Crete to work among the people there. And he says that in doing that, he warns Titus that he's going to have some problems. He says, one of them, a prophet of their own, said that Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. So he's going to a culture where, you know, lying is really prevalent, just like the United States of America. How about that? Just like the country we live in, where there are a lot of lies that are told in all spectrums of society. Cretans are always liars, Paul says. This testimony is true. That is, that, you know, when people said that about the Cretans, they were telling the truth. Therefore, he says to Titus, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, in the faith. No, we can't just accept everything that we hear. A lot of people are not telling the truth. They may be well-intentioned. They may think that what they're saying is the truth, or they may be trying to deceive us. But there's a lot out there that's not the truth. And that's the reality when it comes to spiritual matters, folks, that there's a lot that's being put out, promulgated in our society that is just not the truth about spiritual things. We need to stand for the truth. We need to understand that we can't just accept anything that we're told. We must examine it according to Scripture. It's only the Scriptures that can teach us what is right. All Scripture, Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Scripture, Paul says, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. These are the Scriptures that we must go back to, because these are the Scriptures that contain the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints, and the faith that we must believe, that we must obey, that we must contend for in order to be saved. We thank you for tuning in this morning. Strive for the faith to walk the way that leads to life.